Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Touchdown confirmed. We're safe on Mars. Time to see where curiosity will take us.
Awesome. The Curiosity rover struck the landing early this morning, safely on Mars. And then it took a picture and sent it home. I'm Brooke Gladstone in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC and WNYC.org. There were 7 minutes of terror as the rover slowed down from the 1,300 miles per hour speed it was going at to zero in a fully automated landing on the surface of the red planet. That was the hard part. So now we'll talk about what comes next with Tariq Malik, managing editor at science.com. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you.
So take us through the excitement of the morning. I know everybody associated with the project was saying, takeoff is easy. No, actually, they were saying takeoff was hard. Landing would be easy. But there were 7 minutes of drama, right?
Yeah, that's right. Basically, this is the biggest rover anyone has ever sent to Mars. It weighs a ton. It's the size of a small car. And so it was too big to land it the way that NASA had done with its last few rovers, which is just to basically throw it down on the surface of Mars and let it bounce to a stop of airbags. This thing was going to plunge through the atmosphere at 13,000 miles an hour. It was going to, you know, use a huge parachute to slow down from supersonic speeds, and then it was going to use a sky crane, a rocket-propelled backpack, to basically hover over the surface of Mars and lower the rover down on cables, and then just kind of gingerly touch it down, and then this backpack just flies off to crash someplace else. It sounded amazingly complicated. A lot of folks thought it just wouldn't work, and NASA was confident, and it worked like gangbusters all the way down. It was amazing just to watch how smooth it happened today.
Listeners, we have a few minutes for your calls with questions or reactions to the Curiosity rover. So just call 212-433-WNYC or 212-433-9692. A lot of people stayed up to watch the landing. They even went to Times Square to celebrate it at 1:30 this morning. Tell us what you think of the achievement, how it compares to the manned landings that are part of NASA's past. We want your questions and reactions, so call 212-433-9692. Now, Tariq, they can do all that to get the Curiosity down on Mars, and yet they can't make us jetpacks. If they could just make us jetpacks, they could fund NASA.
Yeah, you know, I guess it should be noted that this jetpack is not rated for human use. it would be a pretty dangerous one to strap to your back. However, it was a pretty amazing thing. The fact that they had a live signal all the way down to the ground, and then within minutes, really, it was so fast. They had those first pictures back. You could see the shadow of this rover on the surface of Mars, and you mentioned Times Square. I was told by a scientist who was there today, 1,000 people, he said, were crowding there at landing time. There were cheers. They sang the national anthem. So it definitely struck a chord with the public.
Yeah. The Mini Cooper-sized rover, though, is a lab. It has a lot of incredibly cool tools. It's stuffed full of gizmos more than James Bond, including something called the ChemCam, which is a laser that'll be used to vaporize rock. What is it looking for?
Well, basically, they're looking for as much evidence as they can find to determine if Mars, or at least this part of Mars, it was called Gale Crater, 96 miles wide, could have ever supported primitive microbial life, or maybe even now, maybe buried under the ground, has a habitat that life could exist. Now, if life could exist someplace that isn't Earth, That's huge news, not just for NASA, but for all of us, right? It shows that life can take root someplace else, and can just open up all sorts of eyes about our place in the universe. So that's a lofty mission. It has this laser to basically taste what the rocks are made out of. It has an oven, many ovens to cook material to see what's inside it.
A microwave.
And it has a radiation sensor that basically measures the radiation environment, which NASA thinks is important because if we send astronauts there, we don't want them to get irradiated. We want them to have the right protection. It's going to be a weather station on Mars, a mobile one, and it's going to be a rock climber. They want to drive it up a 3-mile-high mountain, which is actually at the foot of now. And then that mountain has layers of
sediment.
Of rocks.
Yeah,
exactly. That date back 3 billion years into Mars's history. They've never seen anything like it before. It's the biggest window into the planet's past that they've ever had.
Now, NASA has been very careful to emphasize that the Curiosity is not a life detection mission, but it's looking for signs that the planet is or was habitable. What's the difference?
Well, it's a fine line. In fact, there's some scientists who think that it could, if it gets extremely lucky, actually pick up actual proof of life if it exists there, right? If it's there in the first place. What they built Curiosity to do is to look for organic molecules. These are the building blocks of life, things like carbon, other types of molecules that we find on Earth that are required for life here. So it's built to pick that stuff up. And the NASA hopes that by finding that, if it's there, or finding a lot of it, that they can get clues as to whether or not that region supported microbes in the distant past, or is conducive to maybe being habitable right now.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Amy in Manhattan.
Hi.
Hi.
I went out to William Patterson University in Wayne, New Jersey, where it turns out your screener is from. There was an event hosted by the Solar System Ambassador for New York City, and we watched the landing, the simulation, and we've got the live feed from NASA showing everybody and with interviews and you know every stage, you know the separation of the lander and the heat shield and the parachute and finally the landing and the first pictures and it was amazing. It was a perfect landing.
So Amy, even though it was unmanned, it was still cool.
Yeah, I don't think those are mutually exclusive. And it was completely worth going out. I caught the 11:30 bus. There were events going on all night, but I had to be working on yesterday. So,
well, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely worth it.
Tariq, NASA's putting a lot of eggs into this basket. This is sort of the last hurrah for the old NASA. What is hinging on the success of this?
Well, you know, you're right in that this NASA really did need a win with this mission. It seems largely because this is the big flagship mission, the last one in terms of planetary exploration that NASA has on the books. When I say flagship, I mean multi-billion-dollar missions. The Cassini spacecraft that has been orbiting Saturn for many years is one. The Galileo probe that sent a probe into Jupiter, that's another. So at $2.5 billion, this Mars rover was a big mission to study the red planet. And there isn't anything else on the books for that. The next Mars mission that NASA has coming is an orbiter, and earlier this year NASA had to pull out of a European mission because of cuts in planetary budget cuts proposed for planetary exploration. So NASA really wanted this mission to go off without a hitch, not only because it's the big one that they've got now, but also 8 years these scientists have spent basically building a truck to study Mars, and they just did not want to see that go out in an embarrassing failure. They wanted what they got, an amazing success.
So, what is it about Mars that keeps us coming back? Is it all the novels? Martian Chronicles. Well, Total Recall actually didn't take place on Mars, but it does in the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. Is that it? I mean, the possibility of life is much stronger on a Saturn moon right now than it is for Mars.
You know, I've been with space.com for 10 years now, and it seems like every time we send a probe to Mars, specifically the landers. The last one was the Phoenix lander. Before that, the two rovers, Spirit and Opportunity. That the public really seems to get a draw. Mars, you know, we all grow up with the science fiction tales. We know that you know, Disney has a movie, Mars Needs Moms. We saw John Carter just this year. It has a long legacy of being a place where life could exist. You know, astronomers thought there were canals on Mars. It just seems to be deeply rooted in our psyche. And when you look up at the night sky, you can actually see it this evening, just after sunset. It's a reddish-orange light. You can see it with your naked eye. There's a connection there that the public really seems to latch onto. And then when NASA sends these rovers, they're built with cameras that mimic the human eye. You get stereo views of it. They get anthropomorphized, and they get names. A 15-year-old girl named this rover Curiosity. She won an essay contest to do it. And a lot of that just it gives the public a handle to really get up close and personal. And with the media, the caller earlier was one of many people at events across the country, something NASA's never done before, to really try to get the word out on this. And it turned it into an event that everyone can participate in.
Let's bring in Allie from Spring Lake, New Jersey. Allie?
Yes, hi.
So, what's up?
Oh, okay. I love the show, and I was one of them nerds, you can say, who was watching it, and it was like an epic moment for me. My question is, will we be receiving more images, like high-quality colored images from Curiosity, and also that 7 minutes of nail-biting moment, was that actually recorded at that speed? I'll take your answer off the air. Will we be receiving more high-quality, even possibly videos of Mars?
Mm-hmm. Teddy?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The images that we see now are really bare bones. They're the first pictures that these navigation cameras on the rover take, just to say, hey, I'm working, I've got cameras, I've got power, I'm doing okay. Later this week, the rover is going to raise a mast, and the mast has HD quality cameras. It has stereo vision when they work two cameras together. That's the tool that you're going to see the color pictures of Mars, the stereo vision. If they use them together, they can make 3D pictures. So better pictures are coming. And in fact, we heard that there's an amazing picture that we're looking forward to of a view of the rover landing from space. A spacecraft around Mars saw the parachute and the rover as it was descending to the surface. That's going to be an amazing thing to see when it gets released. So be patient; those pictures are coming. the 7 minutes of terror. You know, it's NASA says the rover, you know, for all intents and purposes, landed at 10:32 p.m. Pacific time last night. But really, the rover landed 14 minutes before that. It takes that long for the signal to say, "Hey, I've landed," to get from Mars to Earth. So it really landed 14 minutes before that. Everything was recorded on the rover itself, completely automated. NASA could not control it because of that time delay. So it did happen in real time on Mars. 14 minutes later, after those steps happened, we found out that everything was okay.
Tariq, thank you very much.
Oh, thanks for having us. It was an exciting day.
So. Tariq Malik is the managing editor of science.com. She could spit in the eyes of fools, though they ask her to focus on sailors fighting in the dance hall. Oh man, look at those cavemen go. It's the freakiest show. Take a look at the lawman beating up the wrong guy. Oh man, wonder if they'll ever know. Hi, you're listening to WNYC. This is Brooke Gladstone in for Brian Lehrer. Next, we'll be discussing what would you take off your bucket list? So call 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Tell us what you've given up on.